All right, welcome to episode 26, I hope that's correct, of Everyday Ecclesiology. I don't have any notes, so I don't know if it's episode 26 or not, but I think last time was 25.
I'm just surprised we're in the 20s at all.
I know, yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, we have almost as many episodes as there are listeners.
Yeah. I think we're maybe a little few more episodes than listeners.
I think last count, it said there were, I guess none of you guys really know how many people listen to this, so according to Anchor, where's my phone? We published this podcast through Anchor in case you were curious and wanted to publish your own podcast. I know there's at least one listener that's thinking about publishing their own podcast. This episode doesn't have any segments in it yet. Yes, it does. Analytics. We have, okay, guess how many people listen to our podcast?
Like 23, isn't it?
Estimated audience is 25.
Okay.
You're pretty close. Well, now I'm going to have to ask you to guess all the stats because I have them in front of me and I just read them all. Okay, so what was our most listened to episode?
What is it? The first one.
It is the first one, actually. It didn't used to be. Fun fact, it used to be Christian Service was our most listened to for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
So how many listens do you think the number one episode has?
74.
Did you look at these the other day?
No, but I look at them every now and then. That was just the last number it was last time I looked.
There's 76.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so 76 plays. And you can get, a play is defined as 5 seconds or more.
Oh, okay.
But it has to be only one play per day per person.
Oh,
okay. So if somebody listened to it twice in one day, then that only counts as one play. Even if they listened all the way through both times, that still only counts as one play. Our most used platform, because this is available on like lots and lots of platforms.
Yeah, app, that would definitely be Apple Podcasts.
It is, yeah, which surprises me, but a lot of people have iPhones.
Yeah, a lot of people just have iPhones.
Use Apple Podcasts. Mm-hmm. Number two is Other. Number three is Google Podcasts. Number four is Spotify, then CastBox and Overcast. I don't know who listens on those, but apparently some people do.
Yeah.
We have nobody that's 60 plus listening, according to this anyway. That's also only
Spotify listeners, isn't
it? Yes, it's only Spotify listeners.
So, which isn't that accurate because...
Correct. Spotify is like 10% of our... So
plays.
Like three people.
Dude, does anybody actually care about this? We should just go to the topic.
Yeah, sorry, I got distracted.
I just don't want people to be like, oh, this is going to be boring.
Last one. What do you think our total number of plays are so far?
Ooh, it was getting up there. Is it like...
This is as of March 24th, 2021 at 8:50 p.m.
Okay, is it like 300?
Total listens?
Yeah.
993.
Whoa! Yeah, we're almost to a thousand.
Probably after we publish this next episode, within a couple hours, we'll hit 1,000 total plays. We'll probably have to have a party.
Ooh.
Yeah. That being said, we have nothing prepared for tonight.
Don't tell them that. We're supposed to act like we have.
I'm sitting here.
You did too prepare. You told me at supper what you thought we should talk about. That's called being prepared.
There, I'm logging into my computer. I actually did just type in my password. Hopefully you can't get it from those keystrokes. Nobody listens to this to get that.
They probably can't even hear that.
Yeah, they can. I think it showed up. Oh, nope, they really can't.
You're right. So it's just awkward silence and you saying, ooh, you can listen to me typing.
Yeah, well, if they boosted it really high, they could probably get it. Anyway, we're going to go through our regular segments, and I do have something for what we're learning, but not as much as usual. Mm. I need water, though.
Here we go.
Can I steal some of yours? Thanks.
Share the water bottle. Okay. So now since you're drinking water.
Now everyone's going to hear my water drinking. Well, what's new, actually? We can do that first.
Oh, boy.
You destroyed your back.
Oh, yeah. That was new. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, it's not new anymore.
Yep. So that was Saturday. You were just plowing through stuff, getting everything
done. Yeah, and I had a few things. It was like where you get to that point on your list, you get your second burst of energy, and you realize that you can actually get everything done on your list. Yep, so I was washing a few dishes, and all of a sudden my back just like slowly, kind of like warmth, but just... kind of numbness, but not quite numb. I don't know how to explain it, but it just started hurting suddenly. And I'm like, what's going on? And I laid down on the couch and it just got worse. And thankfully, Daniel was coming home within the hour. Mm-hmm. So, because Sophia was like reaching for me on the couch. She wanted me to hold her. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I can't. Sorry, kiddo.
Yeah.
And like usual, these things happen to me on Saturdays or Friday evenings when things are shutting down.
Yep.
So I had to wait Saturday, Sunday.
That's how it was when you broke your foot too. That was a...
Mm-hmm. It was a holiday weekend. Yeah. And Monday, I was finally able to get into a chiropractor at 5. And he popped and twisted and weird things.
Yeah.
And I felt a lot better.
It was a new chiropractor because you'd gone to a chiropractor before, but that was all the way in Ankeny.
And she had weird hours.
Yeah.
So I wasn't going to be able to.
Not always, but that day she had weird hours. And with the amount of pain you had already been through, we're like, let's just find another one.
Find someone I know I'll get in today. Mm-hmm. So, yep. And then I went in for my second time and I think I'm pretty much all better, thankfully.
Yeah.
So I probably will go in a couple weeks just to solidify being well.
Yep. And if there's any stretches you need to do or things you can do to avoid that in the future, maybe he'll go over that
stuff. I'm starting to try to pick up my toddler with proper picking up technique.
So lift with your back, not your legs? Oh, yeah. Use your legs, not your back. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Yep. But, well, in fairness, though, like when I started at work at PDI, I always lifted with my back, and they're like, you have to lift with your legs. I was like, fine, I'll learn to lift with my legs just so I can get through your stupid training thing. And then I started picking. I was like, I should just learn to pick with my legs, excuse me, like actually bend down every time. And it was good for me because then it strengthened my legs too. And but then a couple of days I was trying to go really, really fast because they pay you more based on how much you pick. And so I was like trying to go fast, and then I felt something in my back like just start to hurt just a little bit. I was like, I need to focus on form. And so I did, and then the problem went away, and I just always have to really be careful to like, all right, I have to squat down. It's easier to just kind of bend over into a golfer's bend, but I need to just use my legs, strengthen the legs, which are good to have strong anyway, and just get it done. So
But shout out to my husband. He did a really good job. He changed all the diapers, I think, except for one.
Yeah, I know you got one of them at least.
You changed all the diapers. You loaded the dishwasher. Although, provided all the meals.
I also didn't have to deal with a poopy diaper.
I did. The one that I happened to change was poopy.
Yep.
But that wasn't your choice.
Yep.
You would have had to change a poopy diaper if it happened another time. So I've got a great one.
Thanks.
Yep.
Also, people at work never believe me when I tell them I'm going to work to get a break. Like, not because it's so hard being at home, but like I would much rather go to work and just pick cases in my own world than stay here and have to take care of a child all day. That'd be so much more mentally draining. Yeah, it's physically exhausting at work sometimes. Sometimes it's not. But it's not as mentally draining or not spiritually draining, but mentally exhausting, especially when you realize that you're parenting a child, that the child you're taking care of has been is a stewardship from the Lord. We've been talking about this some in our parenting class. Like our Wednesday night church has a parenting class that we're in. But when you're when you view children properly as a stewardship from the Lord, and you keep in mind that every moment you're trying to shape their lives, shape their interests, shape their loves, shape their desires, but also discipline them. Like, you don't just, I'm going to do whatever I can to try and help you love the right things by just gently showing you the right things. Okay. You also have to discipline them. Mm-hmm. Like Proverbs, I don't have my Bible down here. I should have brought that with me.
I think it's 13.
But we know it's a biblical principle. Hopefully this is established. Most of our listeners would probably agree and understand already and be on board with this, that disciplining a child physically helps them and is commanded by the Lord, not beating your children.
Yeah, because when science posts all these things, like science proves that spanking is bad for children. Okay, if they're going based off a 100 people that spank their children, I would say, most of those unsaved people spanking their children out of anger is not helpful at all and would be just as hurtful as not spanking your child.
Just in the same way that there's a bunch of variation when you say you're a Baptist or when you say you're a Catholic, there's a bunch of variation in what that can mean. Mm-hmm. In the same way, spanking your kids does not universally mean the same thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean, oh, 3 spankings for this and 7 for that. And no, it doesn't mean that and even motivation. Like some people would, in the same way that some people would say they're a Catholic because they associate with different things, can be the same with some people say, oh yeah, well, I spank my kids. Yeah, but why do you spank them? Do you spank them because you want them to love what is proper and because you want them to associate sin with pain? Because there is an association there. If you continue in sin and never come to Christ, you will end in internal pain. So even the spanking we have that we give kids now helps them to understand that, yes, there is a physical consequence for sin. Yes, there's more than that as well. It's separation from Christ and from God. But if you continue in sin, there will be pain in life. Not everyone experiences physical pain all the time when they continue in sin. We have people that are unsaved that are rich and live, quote unquote, the good life, the American dream, right? But there will be physical pain in the end.
Yeah.
Right? If they don't come to Christ. So that's one thing that spanking does, is associating sin with pain. So I guess now we're firmly into what we're learning.
Oh.
Hey, didn't even realize it. We switched segments.
Yeah.
Where was I going? Oh, one of the other thing that I'd actually had planned, quote unquote, had thought about ahead of time, a thought that came to mind, which is I was listening to Proverbs. I started at 6 through 9,
yeah,
and then 10 through 12. I was in chapter 13 when I got home, but it occurred to me that one question I can ask as I go through the Proverbs, if I'm just reading through Proverbs for the first time and trying to understand what's going on, I thought about this because of thinking about myself and how I relate to people in the story, and we watched a video. Remember, it was the one called "You're Not David."
Oh yeah.
When people put themselves in stories in the Old Testament as like the hero,
right?
But you're not.
Yeah.
And that's it wasn't Mark Dever. It was I don't remember the preacher's name. I would recognize it if it came to mind. Travis Fincham was the one who showed it to me. He would definitely know who it was. But the reason that came up was because so often we put ourselves in the place of the hero in the story. We love to. That's why people like the Harry Potter series. Someone else told me this. The people always love the Harry Potter series because it has the perfect like trifecta. He didn't use these words, but like the holy trinity of things that people like. So like he's rich.
Okay.
He's famous.
Yep.
And he's what's the right word? Oppressed for no reason. There's a better word for that.
It's not because he did something.
Correct. He's just, everything happens to me and I didn't do anything to deserve this.
Right.
And so people love to identify with that because they want to see themselves as the rich person, and they want to see, people love seeing themselves as, man, all this oppression happens and I did nothing to deserve it. I wish you could see the little dance I did behind the microphone.
Yeah.
They wish they could be like the famous person too, rich, famous, and oppressed for no reason. But so often we put ourselves in that place in the story because that's who we want to be. But when I read through the Proverbs, one thing I can do that'll help me better understand how to apply Proverbs is to think, ask myself the question, who am I in this proverb, or which side of the proverb am I on? Mm-hmm. Am I, for instance, to give an example, one proverb, there's a pair of proverbs next to each other that say something to the extent of, answer a fool according to his folly. And then the next ends such and such and such. And the next one says, do not answer a fool according to his folly. Am I misquoting that?
You're giving me a look. Well, the one you said was, a wise man loves instruction, but a fool hates it, or something like that. Yeah. That's the one you told me.
Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. In the very next verse, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. So it presents a little bit of a conundrum. That's not what I was thinking of. Oh, there goes my computer. So sorry. The one I was thinking of was, if you rebuke a wise man and he will grow wiser, rebuke a fool and he will like hate you or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's two sides to that proverb. There's the wise man and the fool. Well, you can ask yourself the question, how do I respond when someone rebukes me? Is my first response to, hey, what you talking about, Willis? Like,
is that a thing?
That's from a movie. I don't know which movie, but that's what my band director always said when another section would criticize.
It's probably a bad movie.
It probably was. I don't know what movie it was. That was probably not a good idea.
Okay.
Anyway, is your first response to like put them up and start defending yourself? Or is it to actually consider, okay, is there truth to what this person is saying? Because your first response, there are two errors you can make, at least two, that are pretty obvious. One is to just stand rock solid. I'm going to defend myself against whatever this person says because I am right. That's a common response, right? Another one is to say, oh, well, I need to change. Let's just change. Without thinking about, is this actually true? Because someone can rebuke you, but if a fool rebukes you, it's probably because he wants you to be a fool like himself.
Yeah.
Right? If the world tells us, hey, you're doing this wrong.
Hey, well, you're spanking your child.
Yeah, you shouldn't spank your child. To pull an example from earlier, good job. Then, okay, I should think about this. Man, should I not spank my child? Is there truth in what this person is saying? Well, as it turns out, yes, you shouldn't beat your child. And yes, you shouldn't discipline your child because your life was made harder for you. But you shouldn't just completely give up disciplining your child mm-hmm. physically with the rod because scripture commands us to. So yes, there you should take into consideration if someone tells you, man, you shouldn't spank your kids. You can consider, okay, am I disciplining properly?
Go back to scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And compare it with, is there truth in what this person is saying? Maybe I'm not disciplining the way I should. How can I weigh this out? So there are three responses that I'm naming there. Two wrong ones. One would be to just, I'm not going to change anything. One would be to, oh, if someone says something, I guess I better change no matter what. And just cower to whatever anyone else says. And the third one that I'm going to tout as the proper one would be to consider, okay, is there truth in what this person is saying? And if so, how can I grow wiser? So there's two sides to that proverb. So then the question I present is, which side are you on? Mm. You're looking at the clock, realizing how early it is?
No, it's nine.
Oh, man. But then truly, there's actually a third side to that, right? To that proverb?
The instructor.
Yeah. Do you give instruction? Because that's who the proverb is talking to, right? Give instruction to a fool. Don't give instruction to a fool later on. So there's the person who gives instruction. Do you rebuke other people? And if so, are you giving wise instruction? Are you giving improper instruction? And in reality, other proverbs speak more directly to that aspect mm-hmm. as well. But specifically those two aspects, how do you respond when other people? But in general, reading through the proverbs, one question that can be helpful when you're reading through is asking yourself, hey, which side of this proverb am I on? It's easy to point out which one you should be on because the proverbs tell you.
Yeah.
Do this. Don't do that.
Don't be the fool.
Yes.
Be the wise person.
Correct. And even as I was coming home and listening, it's nice when I can listen and zone out sometimes. Now, that doesn't count as like, this is my time really poring over the word, but it can be beneficial to while I'm driving, have that on in the background, which sounds horrendous to some people. Why would you tone out God's word while you're just driving and not really listening to it? Okay, but that's what's on in the background of my mind if it's on in the background in reality. So when my mind just finishes whatever thought I was on and I go back to, oh, okay, where are we now? And I can listen to something. So mm-hmm. it's not because I think that little of God's word. It's because I think that much of God's word that I want it on even in the soundtrack of my mind as much as possible. And that's one way to get it in there.
Right. I mean, if you think about it, even when you get a song stuck in your head, mm-hmm. you don't actually, most of the time, you don't remember where you heard that song and yeah. why it's stuck in your head, but it was in the background somewhere mm-hmm. and you just started singing it. So, yeah. I mean, what better than to have a proverb be stuck in your mind mm-hmm. because it was on in the background?
Yeah. It's kind of like falling asleep praying. I think that can be a great thing.
Yeah.
I used to think it was horrendous, but now I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't think it's actually inherently bad. I think if that's the only time that you pray is like so that you can fall asleep, well, then maybe there's a little bit of a yeah. problem. But I don't think inherently praying and falling asleep while praying is a bad thing. Now, if you're preaching and it's the end of your sermon and you fall asleep praying, that's a whole other issue. But if you're preaching,
that would be so bad.
Yeah. Where was I going with that? Oh, as I was listening, I got through a pretty big chunk of scripture for the time that we had. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of remarkable to me how similar wisdom and folly were.
Okay.
The way that they were personified. So wisdom and folly are very different in reality, right? Like what yeah. it looks like to walk in wisdom versus what it looks like to walk in folly yeah. look very different.
Yeah. Okay?
But how readily available both are calling out on the street corners.
Okay.
Yeah. So early on in Proverbs, we see that wisdom calls out in the streets and those that seek her diligently will find her. And she's mm-hmm. there. She's calling to people to listen, find wisdom. But the same is true of folly. She's also on the corner calling mm-hmm. out, looking for people to ensnare, saying, take bread that you, I think the verse was something to the effect of, take bread that's not yours and it'll be great, but the end is the way to death.
Right.
I should look up a verse for that, so I'm not just quoting off context. But hey, read Proverbs 6 through 12 and there you'll find go. It. I think it was toward the end. But either way, both of them are easy to come by. Wisdom is easy to come by if you're looking for it. Folly is also easy to come by because we're born foolish.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the odd similarity that I ended up seeing between the two, is that, oh, both are actually readily available to those looking. But most people end up looking for folly instead of wisdom.
Yep.
Makes sense?
Or even not looking for it, just living it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what we're learning in this busy week. There are many other things that were going on, and I kind of transitioned all the way from what we're doing. Oh, I forgot who we are.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even introduce ourselves. Well, hey, I'm Desiree Greenhall. I'm his wife.
And I'm Daniel Greenhall. I'm her husband. There we go. I got it right. And our goal in this podcast is to explore what it looks like for laymen within the local church to be faithful members of one another.
Oh, from memory.
There we go. I've only said it, 20 times now, so I should. Because we didn't start it at episode one. Anyway.
No, we didn't.
That's who we are. We did what we're doing. That bled into what we're learning. Mm-hmm. Because what we're doing is very closely tied to what we're learning.
Yep.
So let's close it off real quick with what we're reading.
The last battle.
The last battle. We're several chapters in now. Yep. There's no battle yet, but it is the last one.
Yep.
It's the last book. I'm still really despising the villain, but I'm glad the help has come already, and I'm excited for the characters that are present in the book.
Yeah?
Because there were some unexpected characters in the book.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Some characters that I thought would never again be seen in the series that I'm like, oh, what?
Yeah.
So
don't give away too much.
I didn't.
Yeah, because there are lots of characters that you never think. Smart could pick up on that.
Yeah, but if they're that smart, they're probably going to be reading books. And so they can just read Narnia.
Yeah.
They probably already have. Yeah. Don't give me that look.
Oh, that was a slow blink of tiredness, look of sassiness.
Excuse me. This was supposed to be my summary of...
The Art of Neighboring.
Yes, thank you. But I haven't made it through it because of extenuating circumstances,
mm-hmm.
meaning being a housewife for a day or two. So
housewife and a husband. Yeah, whoa.
It was tough. It was enjoyable, though. I did enjoy, especially the time with Sophia. And I got to go outside and putt a little bit, which was kind of nice.
I can plan a girl's weekend out or something if you liked hanging out with Sophia that much. I mean, I practically was gone.
I wouldn't be there if there was a girl's weekend out.
The bed.
I'd be alone if you did a girl's weekend out.
No, I wouldn't take Sophia.
Oh, well, she's a girl.
Yeah, but a girl's weekend doesn't mean you just invite all the girls.
Oh, okay. So, like, you go out with people while I just take care of Sophia.
Right.
I don't think I enjoyed it that much.
Oh, okay.
But if you wanted to do that sometime, I would be willing to do that.
No, that's fine. Except that I work on weekends. That's not a priority. I'm a wife, firstly.
Okay. And I work on weekends, so that'd be really hard.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, if you get a babysitter.
What is it? Bring your kids to work day?
I don't... Actually, on Saturdays, I could probably do that. I could swing it.
She would go crazy.
She would hate it.
She would want to run around and grab everything.
She would eat all the staples on the floor.
Ooh, there are a lot of staples on the floor. Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
Yeah, because I'm always pulling staples out. I'm off track now.
Okay. Yeah, we're...
So what else are we reading? We got Hello Ninja.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like the book. It's a book by Andy Wilson.
Mm-hmm. A cardboard book.
Correct. Like a little kid's flip the pages and there's four words on a page. I mean, it's not always four words on a page, but... pretty short, just flip through it. It's enough that a little kid can make it through. I enjoy making the funny sounds with it.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun.
I just read it plain so it can be more like a daddy-daughter book.
Mm-hmm. We had a good friend, I think it was Hello Nina. And we about died laughing, but it's Hello Ninja. But it does look like Hello Nina if you've never seen it before.
Yeah.
And if you didn't know what the book was, like you wouldn't know if it was a boy or girl on the front. So then you're like, oh, it must be Hello Nina.
Or if the daughter's parents got it for her, you're going to think girl
it's a girl's
oriented.
Book. Yeah, not like a boy's book about ninjas. So it makes a lot of sense. But that's now our, that's my favorite name for the book now. But Sophia likes it. She picks it out of the stack and brings it to me. And I read it, put it back in the stack and shuffle it up. And she finds it and brings it back. So it's a winner.
It's a good pick.
Yep. If you have a little kid. Oh, and I should add a caveat that it is the first edition. I don't know if it's like first edition, but since there was like a Netflix series or something based on the book, then they like republished it. And apparently it's different, I've been told, by one 13-year-old. How old is she?
I think she's 13.
I think she's 13.
Yeah.
So I assume she knows what she's talking about because she's a book person.
Yeah.
So she instructed me, oh, make sure you get the first one. So I did. So if you're looking for that, we have the one that doesn't have the little Netflix series logo call out on the front. It's the one before that by N.D. Wilson, illustrated by Forrest Dickinson.
No idea.
I think that's correct. But we've also been reading that. And we read another one this evening, a little kid's book that we thought was cute.
When I Am Me and You Are You or something like that.
It's not I'm Only Me When I'm With You. That's a Taylor Swift song. It's different.
It was by Scholastic.
Yeah.
Published it. Anyway, it's our first time reading it. We're not going to have the title memorized.
Yeah.
But it was cute.
Yeah, it was cute.
Sophia's a little antsy to be getting to bed, so.
Yeah, otherwise she probably would have sat through it and
I'll
enjoyed the pictures a lot
more. I'll
probably
read it to her again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. You read for like an hour today with her.
I know. It's definitely like story hour. That's for sure.
But I'm glad she enjoys reading, and I'm glad we can show her what books she should enjoy reading.
And I'm glad we have enough books that I'm not reading the same ones every other day.
Except for Bert's Stupid Little Garden.
Bert's. She just likes that book because it's little and it fits in her hands.
She does. It's like super tiny. I can just about hide it in my hand.
I've started like making up my own stories.
Yeah, it usually sounds like blah, 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 blah.
Okay, I did
blah,
read
blah,
it
blah,
that
blah.
One time.
Yep. I think we said that last podcast.
I think so
too. Yep, because I listened to that podcast today. I do listen to my podcast, by the way.
I don't.
In case you're wondering. So some of those views are mine. One of those audiences members is me. But that's because as much as I don't love listening to my own voice, even though I have headphones on right now, it is good for me to be able to go back through and remember what I said, check audio levels as well, but also be like, oh, is there anything we didn't address? Or
anything heretical.
Yeah, because sometimes it's easy for me when I'm listening to another podcast to think, oh, is that actually completely true? Mm-hmm. Like, did I need to add any more caveats to that? And so when I do that with my own podcast, sometimes that's helpful. And hopefully I'll be able to go back in like 10 years and listen to the backlog and it's still not horrendous. But if so, then maybe we'll start redacting
Lord
things.
Willing, most of our stuff is taken from scripture.
Because I grant it that I'm a youngster.
Yep.
Compared to a lot of people that write and publish.
Like, discover something.
Yeah, I'm
you're
excited.
You're really gung-ho about it.
So that's why I've held off on talking about a couple of things. Like, I want to talk about spiritual gifts eventually. Because that was fun to think about in systematic theology in college and preparing for orals and things. That was a thing that I was drawn to chatting about and learning about because it was something that wasn't really discussed. And so I really wanted to push into it and learn about it. But I've flip-flopped views since coming to college, which is good because I didn't know anything when I came to college. I mean, I did, but I didn't. And so I really want to talk about that eventually, but I really want to have some better conversations with people that really know stuff about scripture that I've never thought of before and make sure that I'm not missing something and make sure that I'm presenting, being faithful to scripture when we actually do talk about it, not faithful to, oh, I want this to be true.
Yeah.
Which is my goal all the time. So there are some things like that I'm holding off on for now, but I'm excited for when we actually get to talk about it. However, this whole podcast was because I'm excited about the local church, which is not a bad thing. I'm 100% sure that it's a biblical thing, and I really want other people to catch that enthusiasm as well. All right. I think that's going to do it for this week. That still ended up being 28 minutes.
Yeah, we were like, oh, it'll be quick. It'll be 5-10 minutes because we got to catch up on stuff.
It's okay. By the time I edit it, you can have the charcuterie board ready.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go. There's your word for the week, charcuterie. Next week's word will be pagination. You don't know what pagination is?
No.
So like, you know, the page numbers?
Mm-hmm.
That's, so if there's an error with like, oh, they put an 8 instead of a 7 here, that's a pagination error.
Oh.
Yeah, I learned that from Dr. Paul Hartog. Oh. He used that one day in class and I was like,
I figured it would have been Dr. Cole who always told us to number our pages.
Probably, yeah. I could see him doing that, but Dr. Paul just kind of dropped that casually in conversation just because it's in his vocabulary. And I was like, what is that
every
word
is in his vocabulary.
I know.
He probably
it blows
eats
my mind.
Dictionaries.
He just published a book, didn't he?
It was probably a dictionary.
No, it's not published yet, but you can pre-order it.
Ooh.
I'm going to get that when it comes out, and we'll definitely do a book review on that, I hope, except that it's probably going to be long, and I'm not going to understand it, but we'll try.
Yeah.
So here's my promise that we're going to try to do a book review on that when
there
it does come out. And I'm sure I'm going to be biased, but we should also talk about bias.
We should probably close this off.
Yep. Did I have caffeine?
I don't know.
I had Dr. Pepper.
We had church tonight, and that usually gets you going.
Yep. That was exciting. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week. We read some stuff. We did some stuff. We chatted about something that was worthwhile, I hope. If not, let us know. Cool. But I think we did. All right. Well, where am I going?
You're going to say, I was gonna close keep it out. Serving
yes.
or begin serving. I don't ever say
until it. Next time, start serving or keep serving within your local church. Bye.
Bye.